Chapter 7. Teaching and Reaping Methods. Church Members to be Instructed How to Work for Others. It is the duty of those who stand as leaders and teachers of the people to instruct church members how to labor in missionary lines, and then to set in operation the great, grand work of proclaiming widely this message, which must arouse every unworked city before the crisis shall come, when, through the working of satanic agencies, the doors now open to the message of the third angel shall be closed. God requires that we shall give the message of present truth to every city, and not keep the work bound up in a few places. Wherever an opening for the truth can be found, there let men be stationed who are capable of presenting its teachings with a power and conviction that will reach hearts. Church members to learn to impart truth to others. The precious, saving truth has been repeated over and over again to our church members, while right in the cities where our churches are organized, there are souls perishing for the want of knowledge that the members of our churches could impart. Aggressive warfare is scarcely known. If believers were wide awake, were watching for opportunities to diffuse light, they would find plenty of work to do. The earnestness, the sobriety, the revelation of the sense of solemn responsibility which rests upon the followers of Christ would count strongly in favor of the truth. Those who are self-sacrificing Christians will make an impression upon their neighbors by living a life of practical godliness. They will earnestly labor in the Master's service, showing forth the praises of Him who has called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. They will obey the instruction of Christ. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Every member of the church should learn how to communicate light to others who sit in darkness. Let everyone watch for souls as they that must give account. Proclaim biblical truth. Start by presenting the gospel as clearly as possible. There is a sacred, solemn work to be done in lifting the standard high among those who have yet to hear the very first call to the gospel feast. Every kind of work is to come in its order. We are to lift the voice and proclaim the message upon the highways and gather in all who will come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This we are doing. We are placing our camp meetings in cities and towns where the message of present truth has not been heard. We do not at first proclaim to these souls doctrinal subjects of which they have no understanding. The very first and the most important thing is to melt and subdue the soul by presenting our Lord Jesus Christ as the sin-bearer, the sin-pardoning Savior, making the gospel as clear as possible. Unveil truths of God's Word to those who will listen. In our towns and cities are souls living in ignorance of the truths of God's Word. Many are perishing in sin. Some out of curiosity come to our houses of worship. Let every discourse preached be a revelation of the great truths applicable to this time. Unveil the mysteries of redemption before the students in the school and before the congregations who assemble to hear the word. This is knowledge needed by the educated and the unlearned. The highest education will be found in studying the mystery of godliness. The great truths of God's word, if believed and received and carried into the life practice, will result in education of the highest order. Bible truth to be proclaimed in simplicity so all can understand. The Lord is speaking to His people at this time, saying, "Gain an entrance into the cities and proclaim the truth in simplicity and in faith. The Holy Spirit will work through your efforts to impress hearts. Introduce no strange doctrine into your message, but speak the simple words of the gospel of Christ, which young and old can understand. The unlearned as well as the educated are to comprehend the truths of the third angel's message, and they must be taught in simplicity. If you would approach the people acceptably, humble your hearts before God and learn His ways. unfold Bible truth only as fast as it is understood. Last night in my sleeping hours, I seemed to be meeting with my brethren, listening to one who spoke as having authority. He said, "Many souls will attend this meeting who are honestly ignorant of the truths which will be presented before them. They will listen and become interested because Christ is drawing them. Conscience tells them that what they hear is true, for it has the Bible for its foundation. The greatest care is needed in dealing with these souls. Do not at the outset press before the people the most objectionable features of our faith, lest you close the ears of those to whom these things come as a new revelation.
Let such portions of truth be dealt out to them as they may be able to grasp and appreciate. Though it should appear strange and startling, many will recognize with joy that new light is shed on the Word of God. Whereas if truth were presented in so large a measure that they could not receive it, some would go away and never come again. More than this, they would misrepresent the truth. In their explanation of what was said, they would so wrest the Scriptures as to confuse other minds. We must take advantage of circumstances now. Present the truth as it is in Jesus. There must be no combative or controversial spirit in the advocacy of truth. Topics to be preached. Many know only what their ministers tell them. The people know nothing of the truth. They know nothing of the reasons of our faith. They believe what the church ministers tell them. Is there then to be no effort made that they shall know what the truth is for this time? What can be done in these cities without money to start the work? If you continually see places where you think you can use means to advantage, must these countries be left and the ground not plowed nor sown? Will the Lord be pleased with this kind of neglect? Preach signs of Christ's soon return. We feel that the time has come for decided efforts to be made in our cities. Read the 21st chapter of Luke. This is the message that we are to bear. It is a most solemn message for this time. Seventh-day Sabbath to be emphasized. There are many places where the means should have been appropriated to make aggressive warfare in cities and towns in connection with tent efforts, and raise up churches which should be as memorials of truth and righteousness. Every stroke should tell for God and His holy Sabbath. That is to stand out in all our work distinctly and pronounced, to be a witness that the seventh day is the sign, the seal of God. Public evangelism in the large cities. Rent halls or other suitable places for public meetings. In places where the truth is not known, brethren who are adapted to the work might hire a hall, or some other suitable place to assemble, and gather together all who will come. Then let them instruct the people in the truth. They need not sermonize, but take the Bible, and let God speak directly out of His Word. If there is only a small number present, they can read a Thus Saith the Lord without a great parade or excitement. Just read and explain the simple gospel truth, and sing and pray with them. Evangelistic endeavors to include follow-up. In our efforts to reach the people, there is danger of adopting methods that will not produce the best results. Plans may be followed which seem to excite much interest for the time, but the effect proves that the work is not abiding. The use of the gospel wagon may accomplish some good, but in most cases, the after results will be disappointing. People will be attracted by the music and will listen to the addresses and appeals that are made. But the workers pass rapidly from place to place, and there is not time for persons to become established in the faith. The impressions made are soon effaced. Little seed has been sown that springs up and bears fruit. When the season is ended, there will be few sheaves to be gathered. In many places, it is next to impossible to find entrance to any house of worship. Prejudice, envy, jealousy are so strong that often we can find no place in which to speak to the people the word of life. If camp meetings can be held in different places, those who wish to hear can have the opportunity. Souls that are starving for the bread of life will be fed. Instead of having mammoth camp meetings in a few localities, more good would often be done by having small meetings in many places. Let these be held in cities and towns where the message of present truth has not been presented. This should be followed up by a tent meeting and Bible work. Experienced laborers with their assistants should remain in the field to search out all who are interested. They should work as if searching for the lost sheep. Many who came to the camp meeting merely to hear or see some new thing will be impressed by the truth, and some will take their stand to obey. In these meetings, we should not at first present doctrinal subjects, of which the hearers have no understanding. Hold the attention of the people by presenting the truth as it is in Jesus. The very first and most important thing is to melt and subdue the soul by presenting our Lord Jesus Christ as the sin-pardoning Savior. Keep before the people the cross of Calvary. What caused the death of Christ? The transgression of the law. Show that Christ died to give men an opportunity to become loyal subjects of his kingdom. Let the truth be presented, not in long, labored discourses, but in short talks, right to the point. Educate in regard to thorough, whole-souled service. Thorough consecration, much prayer, and intense earnestness will make an impression, for angels of God will be present to move upon the hearts of the hearers. Let there be singing and instrumental music. Musical instruments were used in religious services in ancient times. The worshippers praised God upon the harp and cymbal, and music should have its place in our services. It will add to the interest. Open-air meetings effective in some places. The cities must have more labor. There are places where the people can best be reached by open-air meetings. There are many who can do this line of work, but they must be clad with the whole armor of righteousness. We are altogether too delicate in our work, yet propriety and sound sense are needed. Speakers at city tent meetings. Best possible speakers to be used in city camp meetings. We all need to be wide awake, that, as the way opens, we may advance the work in the large cities. We are far behind in following the instruction to enter these cities and erect memorials for God. Step by step, we are to lead souls into the full light of truth. We are to continue working until a church is organized and a humble house of worship built. In every city, there is work to be done. Laborers are to go into our large cities and hold camp meetings. In these meetings, the very best talent is to be employed, that the truth may be proclaimed with power. Men of varied gifts are to be brought in. One man has not all the gifts required for the work. To make a camp meeting successful, several workers are needed. No one man should feel that it is his prerogative to do all the important work. Speakers to guard their words. If in the camp meetings held in our cities the speakers are careful in all they say, hearts will be reached as the truth is proclaimed in the power of the Spirit. The love of Christ received into the heart will banish the love of error. The love and benevolence manifested in the life of Christ are to be manifested in the lives of those who work for Him. The earnest, untiring activity that marked his life is to mark their lives. The character of the Christian is to be a reproduction of the character of Christ. This line of work is not to be looked upon as separate and distinct from other lines of camp meeting work. Each line of God's work is closely related with every other line. And while the different lines are distinct, they are to advance in perfect harmony. Let all who can give themselves to the long-neglected work in our cities, a work that has been looked at and then passed by on the other side, as the wounded man was passed by the priest and Levite. Take up the work in the cities, wholeheartedly, intelligently, unselfishly. Avoid extravagant display. Grand display not needed. I wish to speak decidedly. It is not the plan of God for His church to arrange at any time to make a grand display in our cities on any occasion. The Lord is displeased and dishonored when His entrusted means is used in such displays. I was permitted to have the recent display presented to me, and I was instructed that the money used thus should have been used to relieve the situation of some who have lent means to our institutions and now need that means. There are those who lent their means in good faith, but who, though they have called and pleaded for their money, have not been able to obtain it. Means borrowed from our people is to be returned when called for. Prayer and Holy Spirit will accomplish more than outward display. Those who do the work of the Lord in the cities must put forth calm, steady, devoted effort for the education of the people. While they are to labor earnestly to interest the hearers and to hold this interest, yet at the same time they must carefully guard against anything that borders on sensationalism. In this age of extravagance and outward show, when men think it is necessary to make a display in order to gain success, God's chosen messengers are to show the fallacy of spending means needlessly for effect. As they labor with simplicity, humility, and graceful dignity, avoiding everything of a theatrical nature, their work will make a lasting impression for good. There is a necessity, it is true, for expending money judiciously in advertising the meetings and in carrying forward the work solidly. Yet the strength of every worker will be found to lie not in these outward agencies, but in trustful dependence upon God, in earnest prayer to Him for help, in obedience to His word. Much more prayer, much more Christ-likeness, much more conformity to God's will is to be brought into the Lord's work. Outward show and extravagant outlay of means will not accomplish the work to be done. God's work is to be carried forward with power. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that God will add to the ranks of His people men of ability and influence who are to act their part in warning the world. All in the world are not lawless and sinful. God has many thousands who have not bowed the knee to Baal. There are God-fearing men and women in the fallen churches. If this were not so, we would not be given the message to bear. Babylon the Great is fallen. Come out of her, my people. Many of the honest in heart are gasping for a breath of life from heaven. They will recognize the gospel when it is brought to them in the beauty and simplicity with which it is presented in God's word. Extravagant display contrary to will of God. God has looked upon the great display made by some who have labored in New York, but He does not harmonize with that way of preaching the gospel. The solemn message becomes mingled with a large amount of chaff, which makes upon minds an impression that is not in harmony with our work. The good news of saving grace is to be carried to every place. The warning must be given to the world. But economy must be practiced if we move in the spirit of which Christ has given us an example in his life service. He would have nothing of such an outlay to represent health reform in any place. All the grand displays that have been made in the medical missionary work, or in buildings, or in dress, or in any line of adornment, are contrary to the will of God. Our work is to be carefully studied and is to be in accordance with our Savior's plan. He might have had armies of angels to display his true, princely character, but he laid all that aside and came to our world in the garb of humanity, to suffer with humanity all the temptations wherewith man is tempted. God calls upon Seventh-day Adventists to reveal to the world that we are preparing for the mansions that Christ has gone to prepare for those who will purify their souls by obeying the truth as it is in Jesus. Let every soul who will come after Christ deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. Thus saith the great teacher. Personal evangelism. Personal witness more effective than public preaching. By your being social and coming close to them, people we wish to reach, the current of their thoughts will be changed quicker than by the most able discourses. The presentation of Christ in the family, by the fireside, and in small gatherings in private houses is more successful in securing souls to Jesus than are sermons delivered in the open air to the moving throng, or even in halls or churches. Preaching augmented with house-to-house efforts. The cities are to be worked, not merely preached to. There must be house-to-house labor. After the warning has been given, after the truth has been presented from the Scriptures, many souls will be convicted. Then great carefulness is needed. The human agent cannot do the work of the Holy Spirit. We are only the channels through which the Lord works. Too often a spirit of self-sufficiency comes in if a measure of success attends the efforts of the worker. But there must be no exaltation of self. Nothing should be attributed to self. The work is the Lord's, and his precious name is to receive all the glory. Let self be hid in Jesus. Neighborhood outreach. Begin in your own neighborhood. The Lord has presented before me the work that must be done in our cities. The believers in these cities can work for God in the neighborhood of their homes. They are to work quietly and in humility, carrying with them wherever they go the atmosphere of heaven. If they keep self out of sight, pointing always to Christ, the power of their influence will be felt on the side of truth. Christians living in cities are to witness to others. I address Christians who live in our large cities. God has made you depositaries of truth, not that you may retain it, but that you may impart it to others. You should visit from house to house as faithful stewards of the grace of Christ. As you work, devise, and plan, new methods will continually present themselves to your mind, and by use the powers of your intellect will be increased. A lukewarm, slack performance of duty is an injury to the soul for whom Christ has died. If we would find the pearls buried in the debris of the cities, we should go forth ready to do the work required by the Master. Some may work quietly, creating an interest, while others speak in halls. It is true that Satan will scheme in every possible way so as to benumb the senses, blind the eyes, and close the ears of men against the truth. But notwithstanding this, go to work. Labor from house to house, not neglecting the poor who are usually passed by. Christ said, "He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and we are to go and do likewise. Share with friends. We should feel it our special duty to work for those living in our neighborhood. Study how you can best help those who take no interest in religious things. As you visit your friends and neighbors, show an interest in their spiritual as well as in their temporal welfare. Speak to them of Christ as a sin-pardoning Savior. Invite your neighbors to your home and read with them from the precious Bible and from books that explain its truths. Invite them to unite with you in song and prayer. In these little gatherings, Christ Himself will be present, as He has promised, and hearts will be touched by His grace. Church members should educate themselves to do this work. This is just as essential as to save the benighted souls in foreign countries. While some feel the burden for souls afar off, let the many who are at home feel the burden of precious souls who are around them, and work just as diligently for their salvation. Reach people where they are. To reach the people, wherever they are, and whatever their position or condition, and to help them in every way possible, this is true ministry. By such effort, you may win hearts and open a door of access to perishing souls. It is of little use to try to reform others by attacking what we may regard as wrong habits. Such effort often results in more harm than good. In his talk with the Samaritan woman, instead of disparaging Jacob's well, Christ presented something better. This is an illustration of the way in which we are to work. We must offer men something better than that which they possess, even the peace of Christ, which passeth all understanding. All to be reached. Entire human family is our congregation. The love that was manifested in the life and character of Christ is no narrow, selfish affection. You are to be constrained by His love to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to your hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. The work ever before the minister of Christ is to preach the gospel, both to those that are nigh and in regions beyond. It involves self-denial and necessitates cross-bearing. This kind of work that will lead us continually to be faithful home missionaries and to press forward into new fields must be carried on more and more as we near the close of Earth's history. The gospel is not to be restricted to any time or confined to any place. The world is the field for the gospel minister, and the whole human family is his congregation. When he has finished giving a discourse, his work is only just entered upon, for the word of life is to be presented from house to house. The truth must be carried from city to city, from street to street, from family to family. Every method by which access may be gained to the homes of the people must be tried, for the messenger must become acquainted with the people. The truth must be carried from province to province, from kingdom to kingdom. The highways and byways must be thoroughly gleaned, and the message must spread from continent to continent, until the whole earth is belted with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ministers and missionaries must ever keep in view the regions beyond. The Savior has said of His people, "Ye are the light of the world." The truth is to be proclaimed. The light is to shine forth in clear, steady rays. Self-denial, self-sacrifice, wholeheartedness must be put into the work. The light must shine forth until precious souls are brought to take their stand on the Lord's side. Then the worker is to press on into the regions beyond, where souls are to be gathered
and precious light shine amid the moral darkness that enshrouds the people. Thus must the truth be preached until the minds of those who sit in darkness, as under the pall of death, are enlightened and elevated and broadened. Every worker must stand at his post of duty, not only to preach, but to come close to souls, to become acquainted with them at their homes, as did Jesus, working unselfishly, devotedly, until the work is well bound off. When one company is raised up to carry light to the community, openings will be seen that invite the laborers into the regions beyond. The workers for God will ever be pressing onward, ever depending upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Everyone in need is my neighbor. Wherever there is human need and suffering, there is a field for missionary work. There are many unpromising subjects about us who are sacrificing the powers of their God-given manhood to pernicious habits. Shall we despise them? No. The Lord Jesus has purchased their souls at an infinite price, even by the shedding of his heart's blood. Are you, who profess to be the children of God, Christians in the full acceptation of the term, or, in your life practice, are you only counterfeits, pretenders? Do you ask, as did Cain, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Will the Lord say to any of us, as he said to Cain, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Shall we fail to do our God-given work and not to seek to save that which was lost? There are many who ask, as did the lawyer, "Who is my neighbor?" The answer comes down to us in the circumstances that happened near Jericho, when the priest and the Levite passed by on the other side and left the poor, bruised, and wounded stranger to be taken care of by the Good Samaritan. Every one who is in suffering need is our neighbor. Every straying son and daughter of Adam who has been ensnared by the enemy of souls and bound in the slavery of wrong habits that blight the God-given manhood or womanhood is my neighbor. Entire world to be worked for God. In great distress I awoke. I went to sleep again, and I seemed to be in a large gathering. One of authority was addressing the company, before whom was spread out a map of the world. He said that the map pictured God's vineyard, which must be cultivated. As light from heaven shone upon anyone, that one was to reflect the light to others. Lights were to be kindled in many places, and from these lights, still other lights were to be kindled. The words were repeated, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. I saw jets of light shining from cities and villages, and from the high places and the low places of the earth. God's word was obeyed, and as a result, there were memorials for him in every city and village. His truth was proclaimed throughout the world. Sunshine of the Sun of Righteousness to be spread to the needy. There is a work to be done by our churches that few have any idea of. "I was an hungered," Christ says, "and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. We shall have to give of our means to support laborers in the harvest field, and we shall rejoice in the sheaves gathered in. But while this is right, there is a work, as yet untouched, that must be done. The mission of Christ was to heal the sick, encourage the hopeless, bind up the brokenhearted. This work of restoration is to be carried on among the needy, suffering ones of humanity. God calls not only for your benevolence, but your cheerful countenance, your hopeful words, the grasp of your hand. Relieve some of God's afflicted ones. Some are sick, and hope has departed. Bring back the sunlight to them. There are souls who have lost their courage. Speak to them. Pray for them. There are those who need the bread of life. Read to them from the Word of God. There is a soul sickness no balm can reach, no medicine heal. Pray for these and bring them to Jesus Christ. And in all your work, Christ will be present to make impressions upon human hearts. This is the kind of medical missionary work to be done. Bring the sunshine of the Sun of Righteousness into the room of the sick and suffering. Teach the inmates of the poor homes how to cook. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd with temporal and spiritual food. Welfare of all woven together. There should be no monopolizing of what belongs, in a measure, to all, high and low, rich and poor, learned and unlearned. Not a ray of light must be undervalued, not a ray shut out, not a gleam unrecognized or even acknowledged reluctantly. Let all act their part for truth and righteousness. The interests of the different classes of society are indissolubly united. We are all woven together in the great web of humanity, and we cannot, without loss, withdraw our sympathies from one another. It is impossible for a healthy influence to be maintained in the church when this common interest and sympathy does not exist. Target groups. The unreached.
Many city dwellers ignorant of Christ's soon return. There are those in all our cities who have not had the truth presented to them, who have not heard the warning message of the Lord's soon coming, who have not heard that the end of all things is at hand.
Unless messengers go to them in the Spirit of Christ, how shall these people hear the gospel invitation? How shall they know that their sins may be forgiven through the mercy of a crucified and risen Savior?
The poor. Poor respond to the gospel. The Lord's people are mainly made up of the poor of this world, the common people. Not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God hath chosen the poor of this world. The poor have the gospel preached to them. The wealthy are called, in one sense. They are invited, but they do not accept the invitation. But in these wicked cities, the Lord has many who are humble and yet trustful. All called to help the needy. Brethren and sisters, as this appeal in behalf of the needy comes to you, I hope that you will respond. Let every member take a lively interest in this good work. Do not let Jesus be disappointed in you. The Word of God abounds with instruction as to how we should treat the widow and fatherless, and the needy, suffering poor. If all would do the work of the Master, the widow's heart would sing for joy, and hungry little children would be fed, the destitute would be clothed, and those ready to perish would be revived.
every case of need to be noted. It is God's purpose that the rich and the poor shall be closely bound together by the ties of sympathy and helpfulness. He bids us interest ourselves in every case of suffering and need that shall come to our knowledge. Think it not lowering to your dignity to minister to suffering humanity. Best way to reach hearts. By showing an interest in the wants of suffering humanity, we can best reach hearts. The culture of the mind and heart is much more easily accomplished when we feel such tender sympathy in others that we scatter our benefits and privileges to relieve their necessities. Personal involvement needed. In trying to help the poor, the despised, the forsaken, do not work for them mounted on the stilts of your dignity and superiority. For in this way, you will accomplish nothing. Become truly converted, and learn of Him who is meek and lowly in heart. We must set the Lord always before us. As servants of Christ, keep saying, lest you forget it, I am bought with a price. God calls not only for your benevolence, but for your cheerful countenance, your hopeful words, the grasp of your hand. As you visit the Lord's afflicted ones, you will find some from whom hope has departed. Bring back the sunshine to them. There are those who need the bread of life. Read to them from the Word of God. Upon others, there is a soul sickness that no earthly balm can reach or physician heal. Pray for these and bring them to Jesus. Help poor who can be benefited. The Lord's poor subjects are to be helped in every case where it will be for their benefit. They are to be placed where they can help themselves. We have no question in regard to the cases of this class of poor. The best methods of helping them are to be carefully and prayerfully considered. The Lord lays this responsibility upon every church. God suffers His poor to be in the borders of every church. They are not to pass by the Lord's poor, but they are to deny themselves of luxuries, that they may make the suffering needy ones comfortable. After this, they may reach still farther to help those who are not of the household of faith, if they are the proper subjects to be helped. Employment opportunities to be provided. What can be done where poverty prevails and is to be contended with at every step? Certainly, the work is difficult. The necessary reformation will never be made unless men and women are assisted by a power outside of themselves. It is God's purpose that the rich and the poor shall be closely bound together by the ties of sympathy and helpfulness. Those who have means, talents, and capabilities are to use these gifts in blessing their fellow men. Attention should be given to the establishment of various industries so that poor families can find employment. Carpenters, blacksmiths, and indeed everyone who understands some line of useful labor should feel a responsibility to teach and help the ignorant and the unemployed. God is robbed when poor not helped. Every extravagance should be cut out of our lives, for the time which we have to work is none too long. All around us we see suffering humanity. Families are in want of food. Little ones are crying for bread. The houses of the poor lack proper furniture and bedding. Many live in mere hovels, which are almost destitute of all conveniences. The cry of the poor reaches to heaven. God sees. God hears. But many glorify themselves. While their fellow men are poor and hungry, suffering for want of food, they expend much on their tables and eat far more than they require. What an account men will by and by have to render for their selfish use of God's money. Those who disregard the provision God has made for the poor will find that they have not only robbed their fellow men, but that in robbing them, they have robbed God and have embezzled his goods. Generosity toward others will not result in personal poverty. The poor, he, Jesus, says, shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, Thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. Deuteronomy 15, verse 11. None need fear that their liberality would bring them to want. Obedience to God's commandments would surely result in prosperity. The plan of life that God gave to Israel was intended as an object lesson for all mankind. If these principles were carried out today, what a different place this world would be. The affluent, educated, and powerful. Higher classes in society to be reached. The gospel message is to be preached in every city, for this is in accordance with the example of Christ and his disciples. Medical missionaries are to seek patiently and earnestly to reach the higher classes. If this work is faithfully done, professional men will become trained evangelists. Work for higher classes needs our best capabilities. We are to present the truth to those in the highways. This work has been neglected. We have a work to do for the higher classes, and this work needs all our capabilities. While we are in no case to neglect the poor and destitute, we have neither men nor money for the work among the very lowest classes. We point our workers to a higher grade. All reasons for this I cannot explain now. The fields ripe for the harvest have been spread before me. We must work for the higher class of people. Then we shall have strength and ability with which to carry forward in the lines which God has pointed out. Methods for sharing gospel with all classes needed. The gospel invitation is to be given to the rich and the poor, the high and the low, and we must devise means for carrying the truth into new places and to all classes of people. The Lord bids us, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. He says, Begin in the highways, thoroughly work the highways. Prepare a company who, in unity with you, can go forth to do the very work that Christ did in seeking and saving the lost. People of influence, not to be ignored. This fallen world is in strange hands. Men rule for hire and preach for hire. In all business transactions, there is a strife for the supremacy. If Christ should walk through the streets of our cities today, few would have interest enough to follow him. Those who act a part in the government of the world have no part with Christ, who has declared, Without me, ye can do nothing. Can they be successful statesmen who have not learned the ways and methods of the great teacher? The men in high positions of trust should be educated in the school of Christ. Do not shun these influential men. Wealthy reached through Bible-based presentations. The servants of Christ should labor faithfully for the rich men in our cities, as well as for the poor and lowly. There are many wealthy men who are susceptible to the influences and impressions of the gospel message, and who, when the Bible, and the Bible alone, is presented to them as the expositor of Christian faith and practice, will be moved by the Spirit of God to open doors for the advancement of the gospel. They will reveal a living faith in the Word of God, and will use their entrusted means to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Holy Spirit uses government officials to protect God's work. But so long as Jesus remains man's intercessor in the sanctuary above, the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit is felt by rulers and people. It still controls, to some extent, the laws of the land. Were it not for these laws, the condition of the world would be much worse than it now is. While many of our rulers are active agents of Satan, God also has his agents among the leading men of the nation.
The enemy moves upon his servants to propose measures that would greatly impede the work of God. But statesmen who fear the Lord are influenced by holy angels to oppose such propositions with unanswerable arguments. Thus, a few men will hold in check a powerful current of evil. The opposition of the enemies of truth will be restrained, that the third angel's message may do its work. When the final warning shall be given, it will arrest the attention of these leading men through whom the Lord is now working, and some of them will accept it and will stand with the people of God through the time of trouble. Secular campuses. Youth to practice virtues described by the Apostle Peter. If our youth would take heed to and practice the rules laid down in this chapter, 2 Peter 1, what an influence they would exert on the side of righteousness. Whether they were at Ann Arbor, that is, in a state university, or in our institutions, or in any place of responsibility. The secular minded. Satan seeks to divert minds from truth. The unwarned multitudes are fast becoming the sport of the evil one. Satan is leading them into many forms of folly and self-pleasing. Many are seeking for that which is novel and startling. Their minds are far from God and the truths of His Word. At this time, when the enemy is working as never before to engross the minds of men and women and turn them from the truth, we should be laboring with increasing activity in the highways and also in the byways. Diligently, interestedly, we are to proclaim the last message of mercy in the cities, the highways, and the work is not to end there, but is to extend into the surrounding settlements and in the country districts, into the byways and the hedges. All classes are to be reached. As we labor, we shall meet with various nationalities. None are to be passed by unwarned. The Lord Jesus was the gift of God to the entire world, not to the higher classes alone, and not to any one nationality to the exclusion of others. His saving grace encircles the whole world. Whosoever will may drink of the water of life freely. Minds to be influenced for Christ. As physicians unite with ministers in proclaiming the gospel in the great cities of the land, their combined labors will result in influencing many minds in favor of the truth for this time. From the light that God has given me, I know that His cause today is in great need of the living representatives of Bible truth. The ordained ministers alone are not equal to the task. God is calling not only upon the ministers, but also upon physicians, nurses, canvassers, Bible workers, and other consecrated laymen of varied talent who have a knowledge of present truth to consider the needs of the unwarned cities. There should be 100 believers actively engaged in personal missionary work where now there is but one. Time is rapidly passing. There is much work to be done before satanic opposition shall close up the way. Every agency must be set in operation, that present opportunities may be wisely improved. Visitors to fairs and conventions. Fairs and other large gatherings provide outreach opportunities. I was given instruction that as we approach the end, there will be large gatherings in our cities, as there has recently been in St. Louis, and that preparations must be made to present the truth at these gatherings. When Christ was upon this earth, He took advantage of such opportunities. Wherever a large number of people was gathered for any purpose, His voice was heard, clear and distinct, giving His message. And as a result, after His crucifixion and ascension, thousands were converted in a day. The seed sown by Christ sank deep into hearts and germinated. And when the disciples received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the harvest was gathered in. The disciples went forth and preached the word everywhere with such power that fear fell upon their opposers, and they dared not do that which they would have done, had not the evidence been so plain that God was working. At every large gathering, some of our ministers should be in attendance. They should work wisely to obtain a hearing and to get the light of the truth before as many as possible.
We should improve every such opportunity as that presented by the St. Louis Fair. At all such gatherings, there should be present men whom God can use. Leaflets containing the light of present truth should be scattered among the people like the leaves of autumn. To many who attend these gatherings, these leaflets would be as the leaves of the tree of life, which are for the healing of the nations. I send you this, my brethren, Daniels and Prescott, that you may give it to others. Those who go forth to proclaim the truth shall be blessed by him who has given them the burden of proclaiming this truth. The time has come when, as never before, Seventh-day Adventists are to arise and shine, because their light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon them.
Not all called to work exclusively for lowest classes. Work for both poor and rich needed. Note by Dr. Daniel H. Kress. Before graduating from the University of Michigan, during the last year, I spent 3 months in the city of Chicago, where we opened up a medical mission and aimed to help the outcasts and neglected, known as the down-and-outs, in the worst part of the city of Chicago. I enjoyed this work, and in my perplexity, I thought possibly I should take up that work again. I wrote Sister White, telling her of what I had been thinking, and in reply she said, "In your letter you speak of the rescue work in the poorer parts of the city. I am glad that you feel a burden to help the very ones that need help. Christ desires his work to become the light of the world. He himself came to make known to all classes the gospel of salvation. There may be associated with you some who should work among the unfortunate and the degraded, but you are especially fitted to labor for the higher classes. Your influence with them would be lessened should you be associated largely with the rescue work for those who are generally regarded as outcasts." Manuscript Releases 7, 329, 330. Priorities needed when working for lowest classes. The great question of our duty to humanity is a serious one, and much of the grace of God is needed in deciding how to work so as to accomplish the greatest amount of good. Not all are called to begin their work by laboring among the lowest classes. God does not require his workmen to obtain their education and training in order to devote themselves exclusively to these classes. Work for lowest classes, not to supersede worldwide proclamation of gospel. We do not advise our people to open up a work in our cities to the extent of erecting buildings to which they can invite the most depraved class of people to come and receive food and beds and treatment without money and without price. None are required to establish a work in any city which gives to an indiscriminate class an invitation to be supported by the charities of the Seventh-day Adventist people, whose special work is to bear an unpopular message to the world. The commission is given to bear the message to all nations. Do not forbid those who feel called to help worst parts of cities. If men feel that God has called them to devote all their missionary efforts to the worst part of the cities, no one should forbid them to work. Obtain financial support from world,
to fund work for most degraded in society. If there are men who will take up the work of laboring for the most degraded, men upon whom God has laid the burden to labor for the masses in a variety of ways, let these converted ones go forth and gather from the world the means required to do this work. Let them not depend on the means which God intends shall sustain the work of the gospel.